Is everybody ready to dig in? Welcome to Journey Church this morning. It is a pleasure to have you here on this snowy. It's so beautiful to look out the window and see the snow falling. Some of you are like, no, not so beautiful. But anyway, here we are. We're in the beginning of November. And this is, to me, the most wonderful time of the year, the next couple months. I just love November, December. And here's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to have some fun. We're going to enjoy the season just a little more. So here's what we're going to do in the next couple minutes or next couple months, next few weeks. We're going to have three different contests that everybody is eligible to win, okay? So the first contest we're going to have is this one right here, and that is the first family to put up their Christmas tree entirely, okay? So I mean fully decorated. I want you to take a picture. What's everybody laughing at? It won't be me. Okay, is there somebody here already put up their tree? Good, thank you. Peace of mind anyway. But anyway, if that's you, take a picture of it. Show it to me. We're going to give you a prize. You and your family can go out and enjoy something on us, okay? So that's going to be the first one. The family that puts up their tree first. By the way, it's got to be in your house. It's got to be fully decorated. There's got to be documentation. Okay, here we go. The second prize is going to be geared towards Thanksgiving Day. The family that has the most guests over their house for dinner. You have to feed these folks, okay? You got to have a good time of Thanksgiving. I want all of you to be in a picture where we can count every single head, okay? Because there will be competition here. And there's going to be competition, okay? It was funny, last week Heather and I went out with a young couple for lunch. And when we talked about the Christmas tree decorating one, She wanted me to tell you guys you're all going to lose, okay? She called you a bunch of losers. I said, you can't do that. This is church, okay? She was talking smack, okay? So beat her anyway. Here we go. So Thanksgiving. And then the third one is our contest is whoever brings the most people to Christmas Eve service, which is on Monday night, December 24th at 5 o'clock in the service, you'll get something really special. So we want to just have fun. Is it okay to have fun in church? Is it okay to have fun in church?
Yes.
I think church should be the place where we have the most fun. We're saved, we're delivered, we've been set free, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got it all. We have great hope. We've got it figured out. Amen? So we should be able to smile. We should be able to have fun because we have great hope, okay? So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to continue what I call a little mini-series, which we started last week. And the key verse for our mini-series is found in James chapter 1, verse 19. And James says this. Remember, James is a leader in the church. He's the half-brother of Jesus. He's writing a letter about what Christian character, conduct, behavior looks like. And look at what he says in the very first chapter, verse 19. He says, hey, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. So let's all quote that verse together. Let's read that verse together. Everyone should be quick to listen, and they should be slow to speak. So last week, what we did is we looked at the very first part of that verse, and we looked at that part, everyone should be quick to listen, quick to listen. And what we did in our time together, if you remembered, we looked at the five different levels of listening. So let me ask this question. How many put forth serious effort to be a better listener this week? Anyone? You really, oh, I love it. People are responding. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome, okay? How many are working on becoming a more empathic listener? An empathic listener not only listens with their ears, but they listen with their what? Anybody remember? They listen with their heart. They listen with their emotions. They're really paying attention. They're involved with what the other person is saying. And we said this, the reason why it's so important to be a good listener is because when your listening skills improve, your relational skills will improve, okay? So there's a direct connection between your ability to listen and the quality of your relationships. Many of our relationships go through strain, go through difficulty, because to be honest with you, in that relationship, nobody's listening. We're ignoring, okay? So we believe that if your relation or if your listening ability increases, your relationships will increase, okay? So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the second part of that verse, and we're going to look at that part of being slow to speak. Everybody say that together. Slow to speak. And I want to let you know, this doesn't mean that we speak slower. Say whatever you want to say, but just say it slower. No, that's not what it means, okay? And everybody said, duh. I know, I just want to make sure you were listening. Good listening skills, by the way. Good job, all right? So here's what we're going to talk about, slow to speak. What does it mean to be slow to speak? Well, here's the thing. If you were to jump from chapter 1 to chapter 3 of the book of James, you're going to see that James begins a conversation in chapter 3 about this whole thing about controlling your tongue. So I want to suggest that there's a direct connection between you being slow to speak and controlling your tongue. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to use the one in the pew rack in front of you, I want to encourage you to look right now to the book of James, and we're going to look at chapter 3, and Heather's going to come at this time, and she's going to pick it up, and she's going to read for us verses 2 through 12, uninterrupted. So is everybody excited about that? So Heather, if you'd read us the word of God, we'll receive it this morning. Thank you.
James 3, 2 through 12. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing, but that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring.
Thank you for the reading word. Father, just ask that you'd open our minds and our hearts to your word today. And everyone said, amen. I want to begin with a question. So listen closely to the question. Would you all agree that something small can make a big impact? I want you to think of the question. Do you agree that something small can make a big impact? Agree or disagree? Okay. Well, let me share with you a couple examples. Something small that can make a big impact. How many people know just saying two words, thank you? Everybody, let's just say that. This sounds good. Everybody, one, two, three. Thank you. How many people know at the right time, those two words, something small can make a big impact? Here's another thing that's small that can make a big impact. Every time you get in the car, how long does it take to put on a seatbelt? 2-3 seconds? But how many people know something small can save a life? It can make a big impact. Here's another thing that's small that can make a big impact. Isn't he cute? How many people know brushing your teeth, and the key word is regularly, something small can make a big impact, right? By the way, I would suggest that you add flossing to the list and mouthwash to the list. By the way, how many people ever use mouthwash? Is that stuff potent or what? It's like, boom, it's like, oh my goodness, I got to go outside and spit. Okay, anyway, something small. Here's another thing, small thing that can make a big difference. How many people know drinking water, small, but it can make a big difference? There's all kind of proof. There's all kind of different things that tell us that just by you drinking water, something small can make a big difference. By the way, I remember one day years ago, I had a headache. And the person I was with, I made it known that I had a headache. And you know what their response was? Their response was, have you been drinking water? And I thought, I told you I had a headache. And that person said, well, usually we have headaches because we're dehydrated. So what I did is I went and I got a big glass of water and I downed it within like 30 seconds. And believe it or not, my headache was gone in about 2 minutes. Has that ever happened to you? So I'm not crazy? So here's the funny part of that story. The funny part of that story is there's people now that come up and tell me they have a headache. And you know what I tell them? Have you been drinking water? Okay, I thought it was funny, okay? Here's another small thing that can make a big difference. Everybody say these three words together. I love you. So look at somebody you came to church with. It'd be weird if it wasn't somebody you came to church with. And everybody participate. Are we ready over here, Fire Eyes and Row? We got two mothers and two sons, okay? One, two, three. I love you. Heather, I love you. Okay. Small thing. Small thing. Doesn't take a lot of time, but it can make a big difference. Here's another one. Giving a compliment to somebody. Small, big difference. Here's a big one. Wearing sunscreen. Small thing, but it can make a big difference, right? How many people have ever had sunburn before? I'm talking really had sunburn before where you were almost sick. Emily's had sunburn before. How many people know it just takes just a few minutes to apply some sunscreen? It was funny. I was working at Kids Club this summer, and every field trip, it was like, sunscreen break. I was like, how many times are you going to put sunscreen on these kids? You can't see their skin, but they know what's best, okay? Here's a big one. Something small that can make a big difference is simply saying, everybody together, I'm sorry. By the way, some of you might want to just practice that sometime this week, just saying, I'm sorry. Small thing, just small. One last one before we get to the Bible. How many people know turning off running water? Turning off running water can make a big difference. Is that right, Doug? If you have a hose that's running, it can cause a mess, right? So just turning off running water can make a big difference, okay? So here's what I want you to see. All these things are small, and I want you to get this because there's a powerful point behind these funny pictures. Something small can have a big impact. I want to say it again. Something small can have a big impact. So why do I bring this up? Because when we read the text, we look closer at the text that Heather read this morning, James actually jumps on board with what we're talking about, and he gives three examples where something small makes a big difference. Here's one. He talks about the bit in a horse's mouth. Okay, I don't know much about horses or horse training, but I would assume the bit is the thing that's in the horse's mouth. And how many people know a big horse can be controlled in direction and training by a small bit in a horse's mouth? Okay, I'm going to take that one to be true because it's in the Bible. Here we go. Here's another one. A small rudder. A small rudder, that's the part under the water to the back side of the ship there, or the front side, whatever side that is. But anyway, a small rudder, how many people know can make a big difference? It's that small rudder that can determine the direction of a huge ship. Something so small. Something so small. Here's my last one. By the way, how many people find these don't work most of the time? How many people know that's something small? Is that small or what? But look what something small could cause this. Thousands of acres. Why? Because one little small, what are we calling it? Spark. One small spark. So stay with me here. Why is James bringing these up? Why is James sharing these examples with us? What's his point that he's trying to make? Here's the point. Don't miss the point. He's trying to make the point that even though your tongue is small, and by the way, I would add disgusting, okay? I read some research. Yeah, Therese liked that one. Even though your tongue is small, some people said it's about 4 inches in length. I also read this week that it has 8 different muscles that never get tired. Dan liked that one. Let's go. Okay. Here's the deal. Something small, your tongue, How many people know it can have a big impact? And here's what I want you to hear. It can have a big impact for good, and it can have a big impact for bad, negative. Next week, we're going to look at the big impact for good. Today, we're going to look at James, where he talks about the negative impact of the power of our words. So my question is, do we all agree that this big thing like a tongue, or this small thing like a tongue, can cause big problems, big damage? I was reading in my preparation this week, and I came upon this article. Actually, it was part of a book that I was reading. And there's a quote by a guy named Brian Houston, the pastor of a church in Australia. He says this about the power of the tongue. He says, children have had their entire worldview framed through the harsh words of a neglectful parent, or their beliefs have been shaped by the careless words of a frustrated teacher or a coach. He concludes by saying, marriages have ended over the sharp words of a wounded spouse with an untamed tongue. So the whole point here is this. Your tongue is small, but it can cause big problems. It can bring big damage. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says this. He says, our lives, and every one of us, we fall into this category. Our lives have been shaped by the words that have been spoken to us, over us, and about us. You are who you are today in a large part because of the words that people have spoken to you, over you, and about you. There's power in your words. I want to let everyone know today, you are a powerful person. And the reason why you're a powerful person, because you have a tongue that can be used in powerful, powerful, powerful ways. So I want to let you know, I want to share with you three observations about the tongue, and we'll wrap it up. Three observations. The first one is this. Words don't carry the same weight. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this, that there's been survey after survey after survey, and they discovered that it takes several positive words to counter one negative word. It takes several positive words to counter one negative word. I am so thankful that Grant and Nolan aren't in the service this morning. Because I tell you what, I'm going to be very, very just vulnerable with you. I haven't always got it right as a dad. I tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered that I can say 18 amazing things to my sons. I can tell them how wonderful they are. I can tell them how much I love them. I can tell them how much God has a plan for their lives. I can tell them all these wonderful things. And then in a moment of frustration, has anybody ever been frustrated before? In a moment of frustration, I can say something I don't even mean, and I can say, I don't know if I've ever said this, but I could say, for example, you're stupid. How many people know my boys aren't going to hold on to those 18 positive words? The word that they're going to hold on to in their life is, hey, I remember, Dad, the day you told me I was stupid. Or no good, or whatever the word is. So I want to let you know, words don't all carry the same weight. Yes, we need to say positive, positive, and we'll talk about that next week. But we need to be careful because it could be the one negative that kind of deletes all the positives. Second observation about the tongue is this. Certain people's words carry more weight than others. There's certain people that we allow their words. We give them permission because maybe they're in places of positions of authority. And we allow their words to carry more weight than maybe somebody we don't particularly really care what they think. And we got to be careful because certain people's words are going to carry more weight. So let me take a survey. I want to see if you guys are engaged in the message this morning. My question is, whose words do you think carry the most weight? Does anybody want to take a stab at it? Yes. Those in positions of authority. That's a great answer. Anyone else want to take a stab? Spouse, that's a great answer. Anyone else? Teachers, those are all good answers. Anybody else?
Parents.
Okay, let's get a little more specific. We're in the neighborhood. Whose words speak the most? Anybody?
Our own.
Oh, you guys are hot. Woo! There's one word I'm looking for. And anybody who knows, they've done studies. Whose words mean the most? It's self-talk. It's all good. Okay, everybody stop. I'm getting worn out here. By the way, every answer is so true. But what they discovered, the person's words that mean the most and hold the most weight is your dad. Your dad. So all the dads in the room, I just want to send this message that your words carry the most weight. So Heather can be over there telling my boys, hey, you guys are wonderful. The sun doesn't rise or set without you. JP, there's no one like you. But I can come along. I can come along with one destructive word. And whose words do you think they're going to hold on to? Dad's. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what the research has shown us, that dads, your words have amazing power. So dads, we're going to talk about this a little later. None of us are perfect, but we need to be careful. I need to be careful. We're in this together. Observation number three is this: some words just take more time to recover from. Meaning some words just cut deeper, and there's wounds and there's hurts, and it may take more than just a one-time apology, or it may take more than a week. It may take more than a month or a semester or a year, but there's just some words that take more time to recover from, okay? So here's what I want you to see. Here's the whole point of all this talk is this. We all are powerful. You all have a powerful weapon at your disposal. And that powerful weapon you have at your disposal is very small. It's your tongue. And if you misuse your words, how many people know it's going to bring a lot of damage? But here's the challenge that James brings to us in verses 7 and 8. He says, hey, people, they can tame all kinds of animals. It's amazing. Have you been to the zoo? And they can tame all kinds of birds. That's interesting. Reptiles and fish. But let's read that last part together, everyone. But no one can tame the tongue. James saying, man, I've seen it all. I've been to the zoo. I've been to all these different places. I've seen reptiles, birds, and fish, and animals being tamed. But when it comes to this little part of your body that hides within in your mouth, in your teeth, it's your tongue. And he says, hey, the challenge is no one can tame it. And here's what's funny about the passage. If we read it in its entirety, James never tells us what to do. It's almost like he says, the end, good luck. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's almost like, hey, may the force be with you in your journey to tame the tongue. And by the way, no one can tame the tongue. But I want to suggest to you, we can't tame the tongue, but can we do a better job controlling our tongue? Can we do a better job controlling our tongue? So what I want to do in closing is I want to just offer you three thoughts of how we can do a better job in our day-to-day lives of how we can control the tongue. So everybody get your pen and your paper ready right quickly. Here we go. What can we do to control our tongue? I want you to hear this. Everybody listen up. The place to start is with your heart. Does that make sense? Everybody say that together. The place to start is with my heart. So repeat after me. The place to start is with my heart. Where do I get that? I get that from Jesus. And when Jesus speaks, I listen. Jesus said these words. He said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Then he concludes with this big thought. What you say flows from what's inside your heart. Can anybody say ouch? What I say flows from, you mean that one negative time I had a comment with Nolan or Grant, that came from my heart? Yeah. I listened to a lady that studies the brain because I just didn't have anything else to do. And she said it is impossible to speak without thinking first. Your mouth just doesn't run off on its own. Some of you think you know somebody like that, but they're really thinking, okay? But here's the deal. It starts in our heart. It starts right in our heart. That's why I love this promise in the book of Ezekiel, talking about when somebody becomes a new creation, a new believer. It says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you, and I'll remove your heart of stone. And God promises, I'll give you a heart of flesh. How many people know when we became a follower of Jesus, a miracle took place in our lives? And a heart of stone was replaced by a heart of flesh, but how many people know we have to work on maintaining that? And I just want to encourage you, the place to start is not saying, I'm going to just do better with watching what I say. The place to start is, I love what David says, and I think it's in Psalm 51:10. Remember when he fell into sin with Bathsheba? His prayer was, Lord, create in me what? A clean heart. So the place to start in this journey of controlling your heart or your tongue is starting with your heart. Number two, the second thing I want to suggest that you could do is start, number two is this. By the way, how many people have ever been told this by your parents? Michael? I can hear my dad now. Think before you speak. Anybody else ever heard that before? Think before you speak. I'm going to offer some very common sense direction right now. I want everybody to listen. This is just common sense 101. Is everybody ready for common sense 101?
Yes.
Be careful and think before you speak, especially when you're angry. Especially when you're upset, you're frustrated, you're hurt, you're super wound up, you're just jazzed up. Think before you speak when you're emotional or when you're tired. Those are very critical seasons of making sure you use your words wisely. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to let you know, Friday night, I didn't sleep very well. So I was a little, as my family would say, Dad's cranky. Has anybody ever been cranky? So I had this project on my list. We're going to clean out the gutters on this house behind the church before it rains and snows. Heather said, you want me to help? I said, no, I want Nolan to help me. So I said, go upstairs and get him to come down. He's going to help me. And he came down with a golf club out of the garage, swinging the golf club around the backyard. I said, Nolan, put the golf club away. Why? Because I was tired, cranky. Wasn't really thinking before I was speaking. I want everybody just to think about this. Think before you speak. Think of the consequences that it's going to cause. Especially when you're not in a good place. I've heard story after story of people saying things and they say this afterwards, oh, I wish I would have never said that. I was so emotional, I was so wound up, but we never think that there's going to be lasting consequences. There's lasting, you can say sorry, 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 sorry all you want, but there's some things that are already out there. It's like putting toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. The words are already out, so think before you speak, okay? Here's another one. This one has worked well for me at times when I keep it on my menu. Begin each day with a simple prayer. How many people want a simple prayer that you can pray every day to control your tongue? I'm going to give it to you. Write it down. Psalms 19:14. It's a great prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How many people know that's a great prayer to start every day with? And by the way, there's times that you might have to say it 5 or 6 times a day. So can we read that verse together? May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So God, I'm going into another day, and there's going to be challenging situations, challenging people. I'm tired, I'm irritated, I'm upset. But Lord, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Okay? And here's what I want to say in conclusion. We've all messed up. That's why I love verse 2. That's why verse 2, I think, is the greatest verse in that text. It says, James begins the conversation by saying, we all make many mistakes. And everybody said, amen. Some of you aren't convinced of that, by the way. But James says, we all make many mistakes. Are you on that boat with me, making many mistakes? And he talks about the biggest mistakes we make is this whole issue of controlling the tongue. And I want to speak to people today. There's some of you, you may think, well, I really blew it. I really messed up. And, oh, man, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. I want to let you know, don't beat yourself up. Nobody bats a thousand. Are you hearing me this morning? Nobody bats a thousand. Here's what I want to suggest that you do, though. When you do mess up, be quick to confess. Be quick to confess. And there's two parties you need to confess to. God, vertical. The other person, horizontal. We need to man up, woman up, whatever you want to say. We need to take responsibility when we know we've hurt people with our words. That we say, you know what, God, I did. I blew it today. I confess that to you. But it can't stop there. There's times you got to go to the person. It's easy just to go to God. But there's this other step when you have to look somebody in the eye and you have to say, hey, JP, forgive me for what I said to you. But how many people know that's where healing can begin? And I think there's some people here today, you might need to have these conversations this week. You knew that there's an area where you blew up. It may have been at school. It may have been at work. It may have been right in your own home. And you need to say, God, I said something that was very hurtful. And I confess that as sin. And Lord, I need to go to that person this week and say, you know what? 3 months ago, I said something to you in passing. And I know that it hurt you. I confess that. Will you please forgive me? And see what James is getting at in this whole thing is he wants us to have healthy relationships. That's why he wants us to listen. That's why he wants us to be slow to speak. Because relationships are the greatest thing that we have. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, but our relationship with other people. It's the most powerful things we have. So James says, hey guys, be quick to listen, and then on top of that, be slow to speak. If you can do those things, that's going to be gold in your pockets. It's going to make a difference. Amen? So do you receive the word this morning?
Yes.
So I want to challenge you. Let's repeat the verse together. Everybody together. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. So my homework this week is still stay with week one. Quick to listen, but I also want to add another wrinkle to your homework. Think before you speak. Ask God for help. Start with your heart. So let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Join hands with a neighbor that you came to church with. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us direction on how to have healthy relationships. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in the dark, but you gave us direction through your word. So, Lord, help us this week to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, it's not by our might or our power, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Let's close this morning by praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.